We are traveling at warp speed. How did you manage to beam aboard this ship?
You're the genius, you figure it out.
As acting captain of this vessel, I order you to answer the question.
Well, I'm not telling, acting captain.
Ooh, snap! That is from the new Star Trek movie being released nationwide today. By the way, if you live in New York, the IMAX screening sold out weeks ago, and they're being scalped on Craigslist for up to $80. But anyway, folks are excited to see this film. Could there be, question, real versions of some of the technology that exists in Star Trek? Believe it or not, NASA's trying to figure that out. With us, we've got Mark Millis, the former head of NASA's Breakthrough Propulsion Physics Project. It's explored the possibilities of traveling at a speed faster than light. Now, Mark, we want to talk to you about your project, but first, let's get a little overview of where pop cult meets reality. What in Star Trek actually exists, and also what was NASA trying to develop that exists in Star Trek?
Well, first I'm going to talk about, here's the obvious one. I got a real cell phone before I even was able to obtain this toy. The viewers who are as old as me will recognize what that sound is.
Phaser.
No, it's a communicator.
No, that was
communicator.
Yes. and, I remember the sliding doors how many grocery stores had those. But when it comes to the spacecraft itself and its engines, all that is in the realm of fiction today. Aside from the emerging science part, which I can get into shortly. Here's another big one that's usually taken for granted that Star Trek has that is really not able to be done yet, is they have gravity on board, synthetic gravity on board, and that's usually taken for granted. That would be a big deal.
I think it's because they filmed the program on planet Earth where there is gravity.
Yeah, normal studio conditions.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's right. So what about a tricorder? Is that possible? The thing that can do anything, heals anything, can find anyone and tell it if you're healthy?
Well, there's definitely parts of that have advanced, being able to scan things and sense various things. But as far as a handheld device that can also help fill in those plot gaps when you need some quick way to advance a story, no, we don't have those.
No, please.
Yes.
One thing that I'm curious about, and this may be switching a horse in midstream a little too fast, is just how pragmatic is it to spend tax dollars on this? It fascinates me, but really, how does this get justified as a line item in a budget?
Okay. Well, two things. One, NASA's not supporting it anymore. So actually here today, I'm representing myself rather than NASA.
Yes. Yeah.
Your previous experience. But when NASA was funding it, there's only so far that you can push the technology before it's bucking up against its physics limits. I mean, the science of even how it operates. And to consider moving beyond that, you have to look at emerging science. And there were enough clues in the peer-reviewed scientific literature saying that, there's possibilities here that we could look at. And at a low level of funding, look at it. And I guess to put in perspective, too, not including my salary, which is book kept in a different thing, but the actual funding for all the research at NASA did on this under my project was about $1.5 million.
So that's pretty pretty small.
That's very modest.
Small. But scientifically, how would beaming work or a warp drive actually work?
Okay, well, on the I'm going to skip the beaming part because that one's even deeper into the fiction. But a warp drive itself, the trick behind that, and actually 1994 was the first time it came out in a peer-reviewed journal, and the author did use the title warp drive. But even though there's a speed limit for how fast something can move through space-time, what you can do with space-time itself is still up for debate. And the idea here is that you move a chunk of space-time faster than light and carry inside it the vehicle, and to the people on board the vehicle, they don't even know they're moving. This is done by expanding space-time behind it and compressing space-time in front of it, and so that's the theory behind that. And this is at the level of theory, mathematical equations, which gets to some of the bad news. The amount of energy it would require to do that is enormous.
More than a few Prius batteries?
Yes.
I'm seeing that warm moment when they go to warp speed where there's just that great visual contrail of, like, color. But I'm guessing that you're saying because of the enormous energy that we're not going to see that anytime soon.
Well, not anytime soon, but what we might get to is now with some high-powered lasers, we might actually get into the point in a few years where the intensity of the magnetic and electric fields that can be created by those lasers in a very small spot might allow you to test if some of these space warping theories are indeed correct, even though that's, you know, just a laboratory kind of test the waters kind of thing.
You know, one of the things that comes to mind is the idea of a manned Mars mission, which has been explored and is not totally dead from what I understand, at least, you know, with various international parties. I'm assuming that if we did have warp speed, then how fast would it take to get to Mars?
Oh, it's about, it depends upon where Mars is, but I would guess roughly about 20 minutes.
Love it. Well, you know, I'm there. Mark, thanks so much.
Go there for lunch.
We were talking with Mark Millis, former head of NASA's Breakthrough Propulsion Physics Project. You know, so I'll see you on Mars for lunch.